We knew as time went on, Tommy.
Yeah.
Rules around this would start to be relaxed. Mm-hmm. And we have reached that point. But this debate will be interesting.
Okay.
Because some folks will argue even with this, the state is not allowing enough. Where some other very loud people will say this is proof that we've already gone too far.
Too far.
And the state should have never legalized this in the first place.
Look at these lame asses.
You're hanging out at the Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. So, Tommy, it's been what? 3 or 4 years since New York legalized recreational marijuana?
Seems like it, yeah.
Okay. And after a whole bunch of issues, most folk are finally able to walk into legal dispensaries and purchase weed the way we all imagined it was going to work.
Burn, baby, burn.
And now, since we have that base set up,
yeah,
the state is ready to take it a step further.
So what's the next step?
Well, you see, Tommy, at this moment, you can only legally buy marijuana from licensed dispensaries at their place of business,
yeah,
their location. They can't just set up outside anywhere and sell you their stuff. That is, until they recently signed special bill takes effect that will, quote, allow cannabis events to take place outside retail environments.
So what's a cannabis event?
Well, story on News 8 makes a clear distinction. What would be allowed are places like farmers markets.
Oh, yeah.
Or standalone marijuana festivals.
Wow.
So think of things like the craft beer Kimmy festivals that are so popular around the state of New York.
Yeah.
A bunch of retailers all selling or sampling their stuff in one space.
And you get bands and food and the whole thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a marijuana festival. It's going to be bands and food.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And the best part is these bands only have to play one song for 4 hours. What would not be allowed, however, marijuana sellers opening up at places like town or county fairs. You get what I'm saying?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it would have to be its own thing.
It had to be a private festival.
Yes, and it's like its own thing that is marijuana related, except the farmer's market isn't really that.
No.
It's kind of strange.
Yeah, because that's usually a town.
It seems like they carve that out specifically.
Okay.
But like you won't be able to go to like the Hilton Carnival
next
to the zoo beer tent and buy a bunch of marijuana.
No.
Okay. 252 WCMF. 252-9263. Let's talk with the poteed in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Kimmy?
Yeah.
Is this a good idea?
I mean, I guess why not, right? The thing that I guess I would, I don't know how it would compare like a marijuana festival or a marijuana market. I don't know how you would compare that to a beer fest only because like I can go from like stand to stand and take a sip of a beer and not be drunk.
Okay.
Like, you can't really do that with marijuana because the whole point of, like, wanting to know about the product would be to see how it affects you. And if I'm trying different things, well, I don't know how that first thing affected me if I'm doing two other things down the line.
Okay, so maybe, you know what, I said sampling.
I guess, like, but to your point, like, you could talk to the people that sell it. They could tell you about it. It's an opportunity for them to tell you why their stuff's different.
Okay, so maybe sampling's a bad idea. That's a good point. I didn't think about that. All right.
That might be a little tough.
But you're fine with what they are planning on doing here.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
And if you could buy it right there, probably get a better deal.
I don't know why you would get a better deal.
You may. Because, maybe guys you're not familiar with, and they're competing against each other, so you may get a better deal.
Okay, maybe.
Keep your weed budget down.
All right, so as you look like a Cornell professor who gets baked every single day, you are also cool with all of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, why not open it up?
Okay.
I mean, everybody's hurting for money.
I guess
the concern would be you're encouraging that. Let's say it's at the, farmer's market. Like, people might think more people are going to, like, smoke openly here, but you can already. So I don't see why that would make a difference.
Okay, so I agree with both of you guys that this would give folks a chance to reach a wider customer base. Maybe they didn't before, right? That's good. But there are some folks that are very upset by this, Tommy.
What are they upset about?
Well, their argument is any retail sales outside of the shops is too far. And this is going to cause festivals to pop up all over the place and infest our communities with a bunch of devil's lettuce smoking communists. I mean, I went a little far there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, do they do kind of have a point where all of a sudden there could be in your town, if they allow it, a festival for something like this.
Well, I guess it would be like these would be private festivals.
Yeah, but private.
Like sponsored. And they would cover the expense. So who's it hurting?
Those could happen in parks.
Yeah.
Right? So my kid wants to go play on the playground, and right around the corner, I got to drive through a marijuana festival. Acrid smoke hanging over the head of my child, taking IQ points away second by second.
Like, you can't rent. Can you? Well, I guess you can rent out a park.
Yeah.
For, like, music festivals.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which there's marijuana in the air anyways.
Yeah, I mean, they do. Like, Genesee Valley's has held music.
Mm-hmm.
The Parcel 5.
Okay.
Why not?
All right. Well,
I mean, you could do that. What's that thing where they had the big lunch every Wednesday in the summertime?
Parcel 5, yeah.
Yeah.
They sell booze there, right?
Okay. So let me ask you a question then, Mr. Super Cool and Laid Back.
I'm for freedom, Pat.
You are so not for freedom.
I have a freedom.
You want everything controlled. They're looking pretty. How dare you leave your cans out an extra day? Again, talking about this bill that is passed in New York State, it is going to allow cannabis events to take place outside retail environments. These private retailers that are only legally allowed to sell right now out of their store, they would be able to either have standalone marijuana festivals or places like farmers markets, although that's the one exception. They say that these places wouldn't be allowed to sell it like county fairs or carnivals or anything like that. All right. So let's say, and I see you guys on hold. Sit tight. The phone number is 252-WCMF. Say you're walking down the canal.
Yeah.
Right? Having a grand old stroll with your beautiful wife on a Friday night. And then off one of the gazebos, it's fenced off a little bit.
Yeah.
And there's a band playing.
Mm-hmm.
And you recognize that smell. It smells like the art teacher's office. Your wife totally cool with all that going on?
No, of course not, buddy. What are you talking about?
And you would tell her, honey, listen, you're being uptight. This is freedom. We live in America. It's good. Maybe people are getting deals. These retailers are making more money. But you would say that to her, right? You would. No you wouldn't.
No.
You would sit there and say, yeah, this is terrible.
Well, yeah, I'd have to.
So
I have to toe the house line.
So you're a hypocritical bitch.
Big time. Big time hypocritical coward.
Okay.
But I'm for you.
No, you're not.
I just can't say it out loud.
No, that's not being for you.
I'm kind of like, I'm kind of like working like the resistance did, like in World War II.
No, the resistance actually did stuff.
Yeah, but they had to like put up a fake.
You're the guy after it was over who was like, yeah, all that stuff was pretty bad, huh? As he's loading bombs into a truck.
So I'm a sympathizer.
For not the right side. 252-WCMF. Let's talk to Eric. Hey, Eric, how are you, brother?
Hey there. How are you?
Good, man.
Hey, Eric.
So I work two doors down from the weed shop in Henrietta, and I am going to tell you for a fact that days like 420 or the other marijuana holidays are going to be huge if they're allowed like enough space.
Okay.
There is no place to park on 420 in our plaza at all. None.
So wait, so you work, the Genesee Valley Regional Market? You're in that area?
Yep.
Okay.
And on 420 or any of the other ridiculous marijuana holidays, that place is nuts. There's tents set up. Last year they had a porta potty. I mean, it was just insane.
Wow, that's too far.
All right, so Eric,
he sounds against it.
Well, no, it sounds. They would make money. Are you for or against this new bill that just passed?
It's a shot in the arm for the local economy, but I'm going to tell you right now, there's going to be very, very unhappy people. Because it's nuts. I mean, it's a bunch of very high people wandering around being stupid. I mean, I find it amusing.
Well, it sounds like New Year's Eve.
Everybody does. Yeah.
All right, well, here, we'll go. I see where you're going. We'll get there.
Yeah.
All right, but Eric, sorry, if you had to cast the deciding vote, you've been elected to New York State office, and they go, Eric, a nation turns its lonely eyes to you. Should we have this legally? You would say...
Absolutely.
Okay, he's in.
But he's one of them guys.
Well,
man.
It's okay to understand.
He's kind of not with them, but he doesn't want to look like a square. You're like my dad with a Beatles album.
I think Eric knows that other people will be.
He don't like looking at it. You don't like looking at it.
He said he liked looking at it.
No, he even says he's creating like this zombie world that he doesn't like.
Okay, Eric just called the show and voluntarily said, I am for this. You just admitted if you were with your wife, you would also chastise them with your wife.
But, you know, he's helping Cheesy Eddie board up the windows.
Bro, they're breaking windows for cheesecake without question.
They're flipping that building.
Hey, Eric, by the way, so you've watched this then from the window of your office, like, grow.
Absolutely.
In your opinion, are there more people now going to these retail shops than when you saw it first open?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's. I mean, there are people who are sitting in their cars waiting for the place to open. Just, you know, as soon as the time hits, 17 car doors open, bang, there you go.
Gotta get their day started.
Eric, great to talk to you, buddy. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Have a great day.
There goes Eric. Okay. Look, I can...
Sounds great, though. I mean, the people are spending their money.
Look, You can say this is a good idea while also pointing out some potential issues that will show up. I think that's a fair thing to do.
Yeah, but you're just nitpicking. Like, his biggest thing was there was too many people there.
And I kinda
he didn't have one thing of, like, an incident that he could point to. He just didn't like the fact that they were there and high.
You yell about too many people. You went down to Park Avenue and went home because you didn't want to pay for parking.
It was $5,
so get out of my face.
And they throw it at you.
You were saying, Kirby, I'm sorry.
I also think, like, most of the people that would be at these things are doing it anyways. It's not like you're going to get a whole boatload of people that don't know how to handle it, that haven't done it before. I mean, I'm sure there will be people there that do it, but I'm guessing the people that are passionate enough about this to attend something like that are pretty pretty well-versed in marijuana and its products.
Well, but you bring up another interesting point that may lead to this not having the effect we think it would.
What's that?
Well, for example, again, talking about this bill that would allow, quote, cannabis events to take place outside of retail environments in New York State. You could have, like, your own independent marijuana festivals that are dedicated to that. They carved out something for farmers markets for some reason, but marijuana sellers wouldn't be able to open up just any random place like county fairs or stuff like that. So how likely are folks to try this if they haven't already made the conscious decision they want to do it? Like, for example, if you walk by a carnival, just randomly, and you see an amazing-looking funnel cake, it's not crazy to think, I'm going to walk
that
over there and buy that.
It smells pretty delicious.
Yes, sample it up.
Yes, I wasn't planning on having a funnel cake today, but I'm going to have this funnel
cake. So it's an impulse buy.
Bingo.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to do that with marijuana.
I wouldn't think so.
Some people
would. If you didn't go there for that reason.
Like, I mean, and not even go there for that reason. I mean, Kimmy, most grown-ass people are going to weigh whether or not recreational marijuana is for them before buying it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, maybe the field trips to the dispensaries is a bridge too far. Maybe you get a person where this shows up in your backyard and, like, today's the day I'm going to try it. But I can't imagine, Kimmy, someone would walk by on a whim and be like, you know what I'm going to try?
Try this for the first time.
Marijuana as a 40-year-old.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that's a pretty low probability.
I could also see, though, somebody like that being a little scared to go into a dispensary, just the fear of the unknown kind of thing. So maybe if it is presented to them in a little bit more casual of a spot, maybe they'd be more likely. But I don't know what percentage of people that would be.
Valid point. Look, I'm with you. Like, no one's making anyone go into these places. And it would still be regulated by the state. We do the same thing for alcohol like we talked about with these beer festivals. Mm. I don't really see the difference. Because you brought up New Year's Eve.
Right. St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Like, every holiday we try to attach booze to.
Well, we attach booze to every holiday.
Right. And nobody has a problem with any of that.
Okay. That being said, I mean, you're Mr. Freedom. You just branded yourself Tommy Freedoms.
Yes.
Which would be a great country artist name.
Tommy Freedom.
I think Tommy Freedoms is opening up for Declan Smithden. I don't know, country name. At CMAC this year.
I think it's Busty Jackson's coming to town.
Busty Jackson's more 70s funk and everyone knows that. Marijuana supporters say that what they're doing with this bill actually doesn't go far enough.
Oh.
They want more places where they should be allowed to buy and consume. Now, the story on News 8, where this whole thing kicked off, compares how alcohol is now legal in movie theaters.
Yeah.
Right? You can consume alcohol. And how under this legislation, marijuana would not be. And some marijuana users find that hypocritical. They want to be able to buy marijuana and consume it inside a movie theater.
Well, you can't smoke.
Oh, what happened, Mr. Freedom?
But you could do edibles.
What happened, Freedom Tommy? Freedom Tommy coming through. Oh, wait, that's too much freedom. Here comes Train of Freedom Tommy.
Well, I don't
stop on the track. That's too much freedom.
I don't feel like I'm at a, you know, some hipster movie house in Greenwich Village in the 60s where everybody's smoking.
Flying my freedom plane all over. Land that plane. That's too much freedom.
I do have I don't think you'd have to worry about that because if people are too cheap to buy snacks at the movie theater, there's no way they're buying their marijuana there.
Counterpoint. Think how many more snacks you would sell allowing marijuana in the movie theater.
Well, you could sell the edibles, right?
I mean, I guess you could.
The brownies and all that stuff.
You could also just bring your own.
Yeah, well, no, you're not allowed to bring snacks.
Yeah.
Well, you could stick a gummy in your pocket.
Okay, now Kimmy is the one encouraging illegal activity.
Who hasn't been with somebody who stuffs a bunch of snacks in their purse? They don't check.
No, I guess. Says girl who eats edibles when she goes to watch movies. They don't check, man. I mean, I have gotten three separate Instagram messages that say all the same thing. This is why I love all you marijuana enthusiasts. Right. Jacob writes us, they should do a 420 event. Tom writes us, they should do a 420 event. Steve writes us, they should do a 420 event.
All right, yeah,
and I'm sure all of them went, afterwards.
It's catching on, man.
Yeah, we get it. Maybe that's why this legislation hit. By the way, we're 13 days away. I haven't heard of any marijuana festival, have you?
No.
Maybe this doesn't take effect for this 420.
That, right.
Well, you know, maybe it's a marijuana fest. It could happen tomorrow.
Yeah, I guess not big on plans.
Yeah.
The funniest part's going to be if they do one of these like craft marijuana festivals, right? Like it'll be scheduled to start at 10, but it's not going to start till 1:30.
Yes.
Oh, man.
And the sign, like the event poster is going to be priceless because they try to squeeze in every cause in one event.
I'm just trying to imagine, like, you know, Innovative Field does. Mm. They've done the craft beer festival.
Oh, yeah, right.
The last couple of years. Like if they did that, like, Red Wings general manager Dan Mason getting a contact high in his tie. He's trying to hold it together the entire time.
Yeah, total. How do you do dizzy bets?
You don't. You just stand there.
Yeah, you're okay. Ready. You all win.
All right, so I guess now we sit and we wait for the first off-site marijuana festival.
Yeah.
See how this goes, right?
Because,
I mean, there's nothing that says if this goes terribly, the state can't be like, bad idea, we take it back.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah,
And we wait and see where Freedom Tommy's plane lands next when there's too much freedom. You want to be famous?
Yeah.
This is the easiest way.
Let's do it.
And it's coming to our area very soon.
Mm-hmm.
But this may not be the kind of famous you want to be. Because, Kimmy, folks in the past who have made their name doing this don't have the best track record when it comes to long-term mental, financial, and physical health.
So the fame can destroy you.
Yeah, I mean, fame in general can.
Bring you to your knees, Patrick.
I don't know why you're doing Juan
Valdez. I don't know why either.
Okay.
To emphasize the power of the fame.
Fame will kill you.
Yeah.
But it seems like this specific fame is worse than all of them.
So it's got bad luck all around it. All right.
You're hanging out in the Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. If you are ready to be a star, boy, do we have news for you.
So what happened?
Big Brother, the CBS reality show, will be hosting open auditions in our area.
That's still on?
I thought the same thing.
Man. So they're doing it here?
So it will be.
Like nationwide?
It'll be for the show.
Yeah.
But they will have open auditions at Batavia Downs April 30th from 2 to 7. Like, I guess you just show up. How do you audition for Big Brother?
They're looking for characters, like wacky people, right?
Okay, so, you know, you bringing up the fact that neither of us knew it was still on the air. Kimmy, did you know this was still on the air?
I've only seen it, like, in commercials, so yes.
Okay. I would feel if you have no shame, go down. Because that's what they're looking for, right?
I agree with you.
I never understood Big Brother. Is it a competition?
Yes.
Or is it like just a, hey, here's people living in a house, like real world style?
I thought the people in the house vote you out.
You got it. For those unfamiliar with the premises, you live in a house that has cameras in every single room.
Yeah.
You compete in, I guess, different challenges along the way.
It's like Survivor, but in a house.
Kind of, yes. Yeah. And you don't eat bugs unless they started eating bugs. But yeah, you all get voted out until there is one champion at the end, and that is the Big Brother champion.
You form like alliances to like get other people out, and then you got to cut that guy's throat because he was your buddy. Now he's working against you. I mean, it's a pretty cool concept.
Well, I mean, it was the original reality TV show
concept, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because this was one of the original reality TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, if this is something you're interested in, Batavia Downs, April 30th from 2 to 7. Question, and the phone number is 252-WCMF. Do people still want to be reality TV stars?
Why not? I mean, it's the easiest way to get to the fame.
Okay, I mean, it is the easiest way to get famous, but reality shows aren't really unique anymore.
Yeah, but if you hit, you got ways of making money where the people that did that 20 years ago couldn't capitalize on it like you can today.
That's a good point.
You could become a huge influencer off those shows.
Okay.
And then you know what you get?
What do you get?
You get the green.
Money.
If you're not watching the live stream, he's doing the money.
And where do you put the green?
Where do you put it?
You put it in the till, baby.
Right in the till.
Yeah, why wouldn't you want to do it?
Well,
it does expose you to more people. It gives you a bigger audience because there are those loyal followers of that show that you'll at least gain if that's what you're looking to do.
Okay, but here's the thing.
What?
Now, I agree with you that there are more avenues to make money than there were the first seasons of these reality
shows. Yeah, there was no vehicle.
That being said, there were so many reality shows now. Like, you didn't even know the show was still on. And you're talking about how this person's going to be able to parlay the cash. Know,
but there is a segment of the population that does.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean?
My TV don't go past the Weather Channel, so I couldn't tell you nothing.
I guess what I'm getting at is there is so much noise now because every channel you watch has five different reality shows on it. We all remember the name of the first guy that won Survivor.
Oh, yeah, Hatch.
Richard Hatch.
Yeah.
You remember that guy?
Mm-hmm.
We all remember.
Mm-hmm.
Name me another Survivor winner.
I can only remember that Jimmy Johnson was on an episode, that's it, of the 30 years it's been on TV.
Name me a single winner of The Amazing Race.
I do know Rex Ryan was in an episode of that. No. That's all I know.
Name me a single winner of Big Brother.
Oh.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
I can name you a single winner of Big Brother.
Who?
His name is Stephen Moses. He was the winner of Big Brother season 17. He's from Rochester.
Oh.
The dude is from our backyard.
And won.
And you did not know his name. And I rest my case. I mean, I don't know if that guy's making money off it. I don't know if he's happy that he did it. I don't know if it destroyed his reputation.
Oh.
But this guy may live in your neighborhood.
He could.
And you have no idea that he won Big Brother season 17.
But people are still lining up to be famous.
Okay. But that's what I'm getting at here is maybe people aren't realizing the toll that
probably
this
not.
Takes.
Yeah, I agree. But they don't want to hear that. They just want to think they're going to get rich and everybody's going to know me and kiss my ass. We don't want that.
I mean, but you're still going to be in a better spot than you were before.
Are you?
Yeah. I mean, well, if you're looking to gain followers, get, you know, some brand deals or just be exposed to a bigger audience, you got that going for you at least, but if you know how to make it work.
But I guess it's what you have to do to get there, right? Because if you're going to survive on a reality show for multiple weeks where you'll have enough of a
following.
Right,
your whole life is exposed. Or, and like, you could be made a bad guy or, you know, the perception of you could change.
Those are the people that...
It's out of your control.
But they become the most famous. You're right. Like, all of a sudden, like, yes, you have been exposed to the country and some people remember you, but they remember you.
They may remember you for one sentence you said and whoops, that didn't come out the way you hoped.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you're putting a lot of faith in a television station or television company, production company, editors to make you look like the person you want to look like for you to make money afterwards.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're a young, good-looking person, why not take the shot?
I don't think the juice is worth the squeeze, man.
Well, let's say you got nothing else going on. You're some hot honey walking around Batavia. Go down there and put your ass out there and see what happens. You're if anybody takes a nibble.
So you want the hot honeys to put their asses out there in Batavia.
To see if anybody takes a nibble.
Of their ass.
You forgot the nibble. The nibble of your... Get you out there. I mean, what do you got to lose? I mean, more than likely, you're not going to get picked. You're going to go home. I mean, they don't pick that many people. So, I guess go have some fun. Life's short,
baby. By the way, that kid I told you from Rochester who won season 17 was found at one of these here in Rochester.
Oh, no kidding.
At Batavia Downs, I believe.
No kidding.
So, I mean, there is a history that this actually works. This ain't like one of those like old American Idol where it's like, come on out to the Rochester. Yeah, nobody wins.
It is funny because I've seen interviews that have been done with some like people that kind of hit a little bit on reality TV. And they'll talk about how they thought they were going to be on like multiple shows before they got on the one they finally landed.
Oh, so, like they have an addiction to trying to get on reality
shows. Or like, I don't know if they go through one of these talent things and they try to pick which one they'd fit on, but it is interesting to me that like they didn't even just try out for like one specific show. They were just willing to take any.
I'll say this again, 252 WCMF, Big Brother, the CBS reality show, will be holding auditions at Batavia Downs April 30th from 2 to 7. We're talking about the fame that comes with it, why you would want it. If I were single and I met a girl who applied for multiple reality TV show slots, that's a red flag for me enough to walk away.
Really?
Really? Oh,
yeah. As
like,
a young person?
People that have
I wouldn't even care.
Yeah.
Like, you're a young guy. You're out.
Mm-hmm.
And you meet this hot honey.
That's a weird thing.
Will you stop saying hot honey?
And nobody's taking a nibble on.
It's a weird thing to draw a line on.
Yeah, like, that would stop me.
And it says a lot about
a girl that, like, tried out for The Bachelor.
It says a lot about your person. You tried out for The Bachelorette. I want to have to be engaged to a stranger?
Wait. I mean, are you saying it says a lot about her what?
Personality.
Why? She's hanging out with you at a bar.
So what are you saying about my wife? Oh, checkmated yourself in. It's just
she's one of the good ones.
Oh, what do you mean by one of the good ones?
One of the good ones.
Yeah.
The women.
Uh-huh.
The women folk.
I wouldn't think twice about somebody that.
No, really? That wouldn't bother you?
Especially a young girl. I mean, she's got.
I'd say go for it. If you're model. In like your 20s and like there are those dating shows or like any of the reality TV shows, like that's kind of like a fun experience to have when you're young and single. Why not?
Yeah. I got. If you're a young female, I got to think one of your thoughts would be to be an actress or be a singer or to be a model.
Okay.
Right? I mean, if you got the looks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that would all line up.
Okay. You couldn't handle a woman who wanted to be on a reality.
I can't handle any woman. So, well, again, I sound like Rammer now. Hey, I mean, hey.
No, man. I mean, look, think about the type of personality that a person who wants to be on a reality show has. They just want people to look at them. They just want attention. Mm-hmm. I don't want that. Yeah, and I understand the irony of me saying this into a microphone on a radio show that we do for a living. I understand the irony.
No, but I mean, I just figured that's people in general. And I don't think it makes them bad people.
Okay.
I mean, I'd rather date that chick than the South Florida sea bags I had to endure.
By the way, one of my favorite minor league baseball teams.
The South Florida sea bags.
Do not buy that hat.
Two of them infected me, man. I'll take Batavia Downs modeling chick.
Okay. 252-WCMF. Let's go to the phones. You missed South Florida Seabags.
I did. I'm sorry.
It's a new baseball team coming to town.
You think we could sell logoed South Florida Seabag t-shirts at the Rock Shop?
I want to see those,
with
those
your
logos.
Name and number on the back of it. Let's talk to Andrea. Andrea, you're on CMF. How's it going?
Hey. So I have a story. Back in, let's see, I want to say spring of 2009, I want to say. Okay. So Made, that MTV reality show.
Okay, let me stop you let me just stop to catch everybody up. Made, Tommy, do you remember this show?
No.
He wouldn't know. This is more our time.
So it was the idea was it was someone like a kid who wanted to try something completely different than what they were into. So like one girl was like a popular princess girl. She wanted to be a skateboarder. One kid was like a giant nerd. He wanted to be in a band. So Andrea, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So I was a marching band geek, and I wanted to be turned into a cheerleader.
Okay.
And they came to Webster, Thomas Schrader, and I believe Penfield, and did auditions, like, in one of the staff break rooms. And everybody auditioned for it. I mean, you just lined up. And I got it. I got a call from New York one day on, like, my little flip phone. It was a random area code, and I answered it, and they said, hey, it's Made. We want to turn you from a marching band geek to a cheerleader. And we had signed all the forms. It looked great. We had to sit down with the principal and the vice principals way back when. They were going to bring in cameras. And the day before they were going to start shooting, my parents reread the script and the contract, and they turned it down. Because they saw the little clause saying, nope, we can make you say whatever we want.
Ew.
And at the time, being a senior, they thought, you know what? If you're going to be going for different colleges and applications, we don't want them to make you say something for, like, your top school and have somebody's daughter who's in, like, the parents in the admissions office for that college watch it and then you don't get into that college that you want.
You've got really good parents.
Hold on.
You've got really good parents.
Hold on.
Wait, hold the phone.
Yeah.
Hold the phone.
Yeah.
Where'd you go to college and what do you do now?
I'm not mad about that at all.
Wait, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Where did you go to college and what do you do now?
So I went to McGill University up in Montreal.
Foreign country?
It was not my top school. So my top school was University of Michigan. And that I had, like, the Michigan sweatshirt, you know, it was ripped, and I walked into the audition with, like, my hair's naturally blonde, it was dyed black, and it was coming in the roots. I looked like crap at this audition. So that's probably also what got me into this show as Made, was they were like, oh, this person needs a massive makeover.
Sure, I guess what Tommy's asking, in a roundabout way, is knowing how your life turned out.
Do you regret it all?
Yeah, do you wish you could? Do you wish your parents would have let you do it?
Oh, absolutely.
Really? How old are you now?
32.
Wow. I mean, I
would probably regret not doing it.
Yeah,
like,
because
you know,
it's an opportunity.
You regret what could have been.
But it's
thing.
Your most awkward years on film forever.
Sure, but,
she
those years are awkward anyways.
Wait, she's a senior. So. They're not that awkward.
Yeah, really? Go back and look at your pictures.
Well, not me.
You haven't even grown into your head yet. Well, Andrea, listen,
I definitely peaked after high school, so I was like ready to be a reality TV star, and that show's not on anymore, I don't think. So, I mean, people aren't necessarily remembered for that, luckily.
I don't know. I remember everyone I ever watched.
I was going to say, I remember the kid who almost, because they must have just gone to every Rochester school, because I remember they came to Hilton, too. And I remember, like, there were kids that were close to the final, or so they said. Who knows?
Well, Andrea, listen, if you still got your reality show dreams, go out to Batavia Downs in April.
I was thinking about it. That's why I called in, because I listened to you guys every morning. I was like, ooh, I actually have a story this time.
Hey, Andrea, we're glad we heard it. And listen, thank goodness I'm not single, because, again, if you wanted to be on a reality show, I just simply couldn't date you. It's a red flag. I'm sorry.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There goes Andrea. Heartbroken, obviously.
Yes.
I don't know why you're so nonchalant about
that. What do you mean? I mean, let's kids have fun.
Okay. No, man, I would not. The last thing I would want for my children is to be on a reality show as a high school kid.
But if you don't, that's all you're going to hear about, right? Let them go take the shot, and then they'll shut up. Because, yeah, like, if you tell your kid no, they're just going to keep whining about it.
Yeah, that is such a spoiled-ass kid take.
What?
Yeah, my kid wants to try vodka. Yeah, go ahead. They're just going to keep whining.
What you do?
I would
booze.
I
didn't say booze. I just got a heroin.
If you put a gun to my head and said, give your
please,
kid.
Please, where's the gun?
If you said, give your kid.
Shoot your mouth.
Booze.
What?
Or let them start a reality
wait,
show.
Wait.
I would give them booze.
No, you would not.
I would, yes,
you
absolutely.
Would not shrink their brains with alcohol.
Bro, I don't want my kid on TV.
Yeah, but I mean, that's how every kid, we all dreamt it, of getting on television.
Yes, again, and look at all the youth. Think about the youth stars from when you were a kid. They're all dead or heroin addicts or wearing fake teeth because they grinded them out.
We didn't find out that Jay North died today from Dennis the Menace.
Well, that guy was a good story, wasn't he?
No.
Oh, no, he
horrible
wasn't.
Story.
Okay, there you go. Well, he was
actually horrible on the show.
He was a menace.
Yes.
Should have saw that coming.
Yeah.
All right, let's take one more call. 252-WCMF. All right, Kimmy, how do I pronounce this name? I'm sorry.
Okay, he's going to have to say it again because I could not hear him on the phone.
Okay.
Sarbeth?
Is it Sarbeth?
Okay, it's Travis.
Oh, Travis. Wow, Kimmy, are you going deaf?
No, it's that phone. It's so funny today.
Hey, Travis, what's going on, buddy? You're on CMF.
Hi, I was on MTV's True Life.
What did you do?
I was on around 2009, and it was for, what was it? I'm a fanboy. So somebody who's, like, really into, like, comic books, pop culture, like, nerd culture.
Okay.
And my narrative was that I was, like, a struggling filmmaker, but I was working overnights at a warehouse. I just wanted to make horror movies. And, I didn't read the fine print like the last caller's parents did, which is wonderful. And to say the least, I learned a lot about myself during the whole experience.
Okay, the A number one thing you walked away learning about yourself was what, Travis?
Oh, that that I will say yes out of fear to just about anything.
Okay.
I mean, this is 2009, so like I think like it's really shaped my sort of like moral sense and self awareness. But like, yeah, they didn't pay you. Like, it's weird. It also kind of sucks because people who, if you're on MTV, they think like, oh, maybe that's like your foot in the door in some sort of industry. No, they like, they bring cameras to your apartment, exploit the hell out of you and leave. And there have been a lot of times where I've been working a job and the people that come up, like, you know, if I'm working customer service or whatever, will come up to me and they'll be like, you are on MTV. And then suddenly a thought comes in their head and they're like, oh, and you're still working?
Oh!
You're a loser.
All right, so
Yeah, there have been so many times where, like, the person that I'm talking to will be like, hey, cool, I recognize you because you're on MTV. And then they're like, oh, you're a weirdo because you're on MTV.
So how old were you when you did it? Like, how old were you when you were on the show?
I was in my early 20s. I think they were kind of painted into a corner because at the time I was in a relationship that didn't have any drama. And they were kind of like, damn, like, we don't have a story to really, like, exploit here. So, like, they had to manipulate footage around here and there. My brother is, like, he's the one who, quote-unquote, made it in the family, and he was very, very pompous. I mean, he still is, but he was very pompous at the time. And they tried to, like, create it like it was a Rocky story where, like, I was the underdog that wanted to make B-movies, and he's the more accomplished one. And then one day we finally set our, like, differences aside, and we, like, slap our hands like Apollo Creed and Sylvester Stallone.
Really short tank tops on a beach that are neon for some reason. Yes, yeah.
I mean, that would be a better movie. But like, they shot a lot of. But also, they shot a lot of extra footage too to appease my ego. And I'm not saying this that like to be scathing. Like it really like there were times where I could like see over the shoulder of like the producers and the people working on their laptop and stuff, and they could tell that whenever I had any real doubt, they were like, okay, so let's pretend that we really care about this kid talking about the fire. And like the camera's not on and I'm like eating it up. I'm just like, and in part 8, he went to Manhattan and it was a thing. But it was funny because for a while, a lot of people came up to me and were like, you're on MTV. Hey, you're on MTV. And I'm like, yeah, thank you. But one time this one kid came up to me, and he just wanted to talk about like the shirt or like the jacket I was wearing. And he came up to me, and I was that total guy that was just like, Tommy? Oh, yes, I see that you're approaching me because I was on MTV. And he was like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Well, Travis, listen, man. Like, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, no, I digress.
No, I get why those guys were cutting all the things you were saying now. No, I really appreciate the story. Yeah. Travis, thank you. That is actually extremely insightful. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
I think he just came up with two really good reality shows.
Oh? What?
One called Fine Print. You get these people in to see how many people actually read their contract.
I like it.
Sign it, and then they go, oh, you know, you got to do this over here. Like you didn't read the fine print.
That is a great idea.
And the other one is, wow, you were on MTV. Where you now get exposed to like where they are now.
Follow up right now of all those shows I watched.
Yeah, see what these people are doing now.
You could do where they are now or where are they now. Either one.
But yeah.
What has a question mark? What does it, dumbass? Let's take a break. Here's a catch that news.
Why it's a work in progress.
Where they are now episode.
It's a work in progress.
Receiver Keon Coleman speaks into a microphone. You will hear it on the show. And I think this is proof that he knows he's funny.
Okay.
He knows what he's doing. This is not just some guy being like, the world's insane. But in this audio that we're about to play you,
yeah,
he may have made life a little hard on himself.
Oh.
You're hanging out in the break room. It's just classic rock, 96.5, WCMF. So for those who don't know, a recent poll done by The Athletic, it's a website app, asking players what they thought about different things their teams do well, like trainers, facilities, all this stuff. The Bills got an F- for travel.
Oh, their accommodations?
You got it.
Like how, like the plane?
It just said travel.
Okay.
And they got an F- from the players that currently and have had time with the Bills.
Mm.
So Keon Coleman, Bills wide receiver, was on, it's Carmelo Anthony's podcast, Kimmy? He was on the podcast with him. Mm. By the way, Carmelo Anthony elected to the...
Was it Carmelo Anthony's or was it a different show?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. He's on a podcast. Carmelo Anthony elected to the Basketball Hall of Fame over the
weekend. Well, good for him, finally.
Keon Coleman was asked about the Bills landing an F-. Mm. And this is what he had to say.
Oh, God.
So for those who don't know, the Bills do not have their own private plane.
So they just fly commercial...
They don't fly commercial. They fly commercial jets privately.
So they charter a plane.
You got it, yes. Yeah.
But so some of these big dudes have to sit in like coach seats.
You got it. So
I don't know how they do that.
The way that it normally goes is depending on how many first class seats there are, coaches will take first class seats.
Because they need to, like scrawny ass or old ass coach needs to stretch his legs out.
Some of the veterans will get first class seats. And some of the guys that are hurt will get first class seats. Everybody else has got to sit in the back. There are some NFL teams that have their own private planes.
Well, like the Patriots.
That will.
Dallas.
I don't know if Dallas.
No, Dallas has got their own plane. It's been in a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
Okay, all right. But yeah, so that's the biggest bitch from Keon here.
And Playboy, of course, had their own plane. And Hooters.
But as we talk about the private planes belonging to the Bills, it turns out that Keon says he does know someone in the franchise that has their own private plane. Has their own private plane.
So he's saying Pegula has a private jet.
Yep, and he got to fly on it one time after they drafted him. Yep, and that was it.
Yeah.
Is that a smart thing to say about your boss?
Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not.
Kimmy, does that hurt him?
No. I mean, it will. If he's a good player, it's not going to hurt him.
Okay.
If he's on the bubble, might hurt him a little bit. But I think that Keon Coleman is so honest with every, like, he just makes observations and he says them out loud.
Yeah,
no filter. It feels so innocent. It feels like a little kid just pointing out things that they've experienced that it's almost hard to be mad at him.
I agree with Kimmy 100%.
It's not like he's saying it to be mean or malicious or like complain or call people out. He's just saying what he experienced and how he felt about it.
So, like, bring it back to real life, mm-hmm. right? Like, every workplace has a man or a woman that is so beloved
oh, yeah.
that they can say yeah. whatever they want about whoever they want,
yeah.
and everyone just laughs about it and yeah. moves on.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like Keon Coleman has become that guy, that there was nothing he could say, knock on wood now,
yeah.
right.
where you can look back and be like, that was terrible. I can't believe he just said that out loud. Like,
it's just the way they say it. Yeah. It's not threatening. It's
okay.
just funny.
And you know how people get when people criticize Buffalo players, celebrities, whoever, like people get very... not offended, but like we kind of all have that chip on our shoulder in Western New York. Like we can say bad stuff about ourselves, but you can't. But for whatever reason, the way he talks about it, it doesn't offend me.
He's charming.
It is funny though, to that point. Like I wasn't offended by any of that.
Yeah.
I do love hearing someone that grew up in warm weather
yeah.
bitching about the New York cold. Like, are you serious? Like, so for those who don't know, Keon Coleman grew up in Louisiana, hence yeah. the drawl. Yeah.
Mm.
You just flew private. Man, you didn't have to go through the airport.
That's true.
You didn't have to wait at the baggage terminal. Like, you got off the plane.
Gotta wait for his car to heat up.
Though. Okay, but that's just it. You walk right to your car. We all gotta wait for the car to heat up. I just fought through.
But again, he's experiencing this for the first time. Okay. You
no,
know?
I'm like, with you.
And like, he also knows.
It's almost like he's surprised by it. Like, I didn't know we had to do this here.
And he also knows other teams have it better.
Sounds
they may
like
not
it.
Even
yeah.
have great records.
Okay.
But they have, like, better accomplishments. Because you would be pissed off. If, like, somebody down the hall got, like, we all got the same, right? But all of a sudden, they got something better for no reason.
I do want to point out, because I looked it up, Dallas Cowboys do not have their own plane.
Told you.
It's been on television.
Jerry has his own plane. The team does not have its own plane.
They fly through American Airlines.
Oh. So who has their own plane besides Patriots?
New England does. Kimmy, can you Google what other NFL teams have their own plane?
You would think as how much money this league makes,
yeah.
how they all don't have a deal where they have, like, every, like, Delta just flies these guys.
Oh, they may have that.
Like, but, like, specialized, you know, fancy. Because, like, so the Chicago Bulls had their own plane.
No, but it's like Keon brought up. You only got 15, 20 guys on a roster, so it's easier.
Yeah.
There are only two teams with their own planes. That would be the New England Patriots and the Arizona Cardinals.
The Cardinals have their own planes?
Remember they flew the L.A. team to Arizona this past year because of the fires.
No, what a cheap-ass league.
No, but you brought up like making a deal with Delta where you'd have a specialized plane. What else could you use that plane for? You couldn't fly that commercial where everybody gets a first-class seat.
Yeah, true, but, well, you could sell it to rich people.
A whole jet?
Yeah, there's a whole jet.
With 70 people? What rich guy wants to give 70 of their closest friends a trip on a jet?
But they're super rich dudes.
They could afford that themselves. What a dumb take.
Well, how does baseball travel?
I think the same.
Hockey?
I think the same.
Really? Yeah, that's
although tough. Hockey's a smaller roster. I mean, they're all smaller.
And they're also smaller dudes.
Maybe, not necessarily.
Well, hockey, they're pretty puny.
Hockey?
Yeah, they're not big, okay. like,
you're just
linemen.
You're just judging it based on the Giunta brothers. The rest of them are
yeah,
huge.
Yeah, Giunta Air.
So it sounds like the only baseball team
Yankees?
That has their own plane is the Detroit Tigers.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so strange. I always assumed they all had their own stuff.
No, I mean,
they all
why
charter flights?
Yeah, why would you do it? I mean, you could pay for the charter. Why would, I mean, think about what a plane would cost to buy and maintain.
What do you think a goddamn team costs to buy and maintain?
The Detroit Tigers share it with the Detroit Red Wings. Like, have a combo.
Oh, look at
plane.
That. I don't know. They're buddies.
Okay. But, okay.
I mean, just for the logo's sake and a promotion, and, you know, all these guys want to show how big their dongs are, right? So they. Why wouldn't they?
Well, I mean, I guess when
I
you
mean, that's why the Patriots did it and put all their trophies on the tail.
Yeah, and as soon as they got it, the team went the tank.
Yeah.
It was pretty sweet trophy finishing with three wins.